Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you some information from God's holy and divine word. We would also ask that you would look at our TV program that follows this broadcast at 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on Channel 6 of your public access entitled Searching the Scriptures. We hope you'll become a regular viewer. You can also check us out at our website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll find previous radio programs, previous TV programs, and a host of other information that can be of great help. We also encourage you to our worship services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. Those times will be given at the end of this broadcast. You will always be warmly received. We have been looking at an overview of the Bible. We are in the New Testament now, and we're going to begin this morning by continuing in the New Testament, looking at the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles is an account of the history of the early church and the book of conversions. In Acts chapter 1, we read that the apostles were told to wait in Jerusalem till they would receive power from on high, a promise made to them by Jesus prior to his death in John 14, 15, and 16. We also see in Acts chapter 2 that that promise is fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, those 12, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. First gospel sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 obeyed, and in verse number 47, we're told that they praised God, had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so we have the beginning of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John continuing the preaching of the kingdom of God to the Jews. And we also see that they continue preaching in chapter 4 and 5, and they are warned not to teach in the name of Jesus. And yet they say in Acts 4, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things that we have heard. Then they threatened them and let them go, and they went out and they continued preaching and teaching in the name of Christ. We see in Acts chapter 5 that Ananias and Sapphira lied about the amount of money that they sold land for to give to the needy saints. And because of that lie, their life was taken. And in verse 11 it says, great fear came upon all the church and all those who heard these things. Again, Peter and John are brought in and chastised for speaking in the name of the Lord, and they are beaten. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they answer the council, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then they are beaten and sent away, and they go out, continue preaching daily in the temple and in every house. They did not cease to teach and preach Jesus the Christ. In Acts chapter 7, we see the death of Stephen. Stephen gave a history lesson to the high priest and to the council, and after his conclusion that they had resisted the Holy Spirit, just like their forefathers had, and they had persecuted Christ, and they were betrayers and murderers, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they took him out, and they stoned him to death. Thus he became the first martyr in the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Saul, we're introduced to him for the first time, and it says in verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But we see in verse 4 that did not dissuade the early Christians, for they went everywhere scattered, preaching the word. We also see in Acts 8, verse 12, the conversion of Simon the sorcerer by Philip, and we see that he fell from that salvation because of trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. For we read in Acts 8, 22, that Peter told him, repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray to God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Again, he was in the bondage of sin. And then in verse 24, he asked Simon to pray for him that these things might not come upon him. Also in Acts 8, beginning in verse 26 to verse 39, we have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. We also see that he was a religious man, reading out of the prophet Isaiah, and Philip began at that same scripture in Isaiah 53, preached to him Jesus that came to water. He wanted what hindered him to be baptized. And so we can conclude from Acts 8 account that preaching Jesus includes baptism. In Acts chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He's on the road to Damascus. The Lord appears to him and asks him why he was persecuting him. And then he fell trembling and astonished in verse 6, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go in the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so Ananias was sent to him to tell him that he had been chosen as a vessel and a messenger to the Gentiles, and he was converted, and he was baptized into Christ. We see in Acts 9, verse 26, that he tried to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem, but they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple because of his reputation. But Barnabas took up for him and said that he had been converted and showed how he had preached boldly in Damascus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Acts chapter 10, the conversion of the first Gentile, Cornelius. Peter is sent to Cornelius, preaches to him the gospel. We see at the end of chapter number 10 that he is commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they baptized him. And now we have the Holy Spirit poured out on both the Jew and the Gentile as fulfillment of Joel's prophecy of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. We see in Acts chapter 11 that Agabus, a prophet in those days, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. And then the disciples, each according to their ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we see here the act of benevolence. It wasn't the famine was going to affect the whole world, but yet the relief of the church just went to saints. Again, eight other examples would also validate that, that every example of taking money out of the Lord's treasury is to help needy saints, not to help the social ill of the world or the poor of the world or the hungry of the world. That's the individual's responsibility, not the church's responsibility. We see that James, the brother of John, is killed with the sword in Acts 12, verse 10 by Herod. We see Peter is miraculously released out of prison when he also was going to be killed, but he was able to escape. In Acts chapter 13, we see now that Saul's name is changed to Paul, and he begins what is commonly referred to in the scripture as his preaching journeys. And he begins to go into the Gentile world, and he begins to preach the gospel and plant churches in many different cities. We see in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, that Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first." He meant the Jews. "But since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." And so they began to turn their attention to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 14, we see that Paul is stoned at Lystra, left for dead, but yet he survives and he continues his preaching. Acts 15, we have the first problem in the Lord's church. The Jewish converts to Christ were trying to bind circumcision, an Old Testament requirement, upon the new Gentile converts to Christ. And after much discussion and much examining the teaching of Christ, found that there was no such commandment given by the Lord and that physical circumcision had no meaning under the law of Christ. In Acts chapter 16, we have the conversion of Lydia in Acts 14 through 16. We also have the conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. In Acts 17, we have the preaching to the people of Thessalonica. We also see Paul preaching in Athens to a bunch of idolaters and was successful. We also read in Acts 17 that it was a custom of Paul to go into the synagogue and reason with the Jews, trying to show them through the Old Testament scriptures that Christ had come and had fulfilled those prophecies. In Acts 18, we see the conversion of the Corinthians and the started the church of Corinth. We see the conversion of those at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19 and the beginning of the church in Ephesus. We also see that in chapter number 19 that there's great confusion when people who made religious trinkets understood that the preaching of Paul and others were telling them that their gods were not made with hands, but there was one true and living God, and so they had them cast out of the city. We see in chapter 20 that Paul sent for the elders of Ephesus to Miletus and instructs them that danger is coming after his departure, that others will try to lead God's people away from him to their own destruction. And he commends them to the word of God's grace that is able to build them up in Acts 20, verse 32. In Acts 21, Paul is warned that if he goes in to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. And yet he continues to go, saying that he has to continue his work as preacher of the gospel. In Acts 22, he is on trial. He is in. He has been charged, and he goes before the council, and he gives his defense, and then they appear and want to try to put him to death. And then he again appears before them in Acts 23 and gives his defense. And then he is sent to Felix, because of the danger that they were seeking his life. And so he gives his defense before Felix, and he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. I will call you when I have a convenient time." Verse 25. In chapter 25, he appears before Festus and gives his account. And then he appears before Agrippa in Acts 26, and Agrippa says, "He almost made you convert me to be a Christian." We also see in Acts 27 that he is going to go to Rome, but he's going to go to Rome as a prisoner, and he's in a shipwreck, but we see that God spared him and all that were with him, and so he safely arrives in Rome in chapter number 28, and he begins to preach and teach as a prisoner that is given liberty, and yet he goes to the house of Tyrannus, and there he preaches for 2 years to all that would come and listen to him concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation in Christ Jesus. And so in the book of Acts, we see the history of the early church. We see the preaching journeys of the Apostle Paul, 3 in number, and we also see his preaching in Rome at the end of the book. The book of Acts is also a book of conversions. 9 conversions are contained in the book of Acts, and looking at those conversions, we can see that men heard the word, they believed it, they repented of their sin, they confessed Christ, and they were baptized for the remission of sin to contact the blood of Christ. And then they were instructed to continue in following and reforming their lives after the teaching of Christ. And so there you have the book of Acts. We hope that you understand that that is an important book in the New Testament. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be examining the book of Romans. I want to thank you for listening this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener every Sunday morning. And we invite you to come and be with us and worship the Lord with us on this day that is His. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.